so glad you all laughed at that moment in Genesis with Sarah. So terrible when you have a funny scripture and no one laughs. Thank you for laughing. It's one of the funny ones. My brother was an instructor for Outward Bound, which is an experiential education program off the coast of Maine, for years. After hearing about his students and his adventures, I signed up for the women's sailing course 5 summers ago. I joined 9 other women, ranging in age from 23 to 56, on a 30-foot boat for 8 days. None of us knew how to sail, and we had negative personal space in which to live. Part of the Outward Bound curriculum involves each student occupying a role at all times. We rotated through every task, from reminding one another to hydrate and put on sunscreen, to chef, to captain. There was no task too small to overlook. The women who eventually became my sisters were about as diverse as you can imagine. We ranged from a stay-at-home mom to a VP of a Fortune 500 company, a White House staffer, a PhD student, a recently divorced mom looking to find herself, and a priest. The unique thing about this particular setting was that we were all out of our comfort zone. None of us had such proficiency in sailing that we could effectively be helpful to one another. We truly got to know one another, and not just the self that we tend to present, we like to present, but our true selves. There was much laughter, many, many tears, and a solid dose of frustration. And at the climax of every Outward Bound trip is a day when the students are in charge. Though the instructors are always tasked with keeping the students safe, this last day, the students are challenged to rely on the knowledge they have developed throughout the course. In the entirety of the day, the students are only allowed to ask the instructors a total of 3 questions. A critical part of successfully completing this final challenge is choosing the captain for the day. This person ought to be someone who is calm under pressure, confident in her technical knowledge, and willing to delegate a majority of the responsibility to others. I was quite surprised when my fellow sailors asked if I would be captain of the day. It was humbling and quite honestly terrifying. I had the night before to sleep on it and decide whether I felt up to the task. After only a few hours, I figured out a way to get out of it. It occurred to me that the day would go much smoother if I worked with my friend Jen. Where I have a rough edge, Jen is totally smooth. Where I have the ability to think about what's happening in the next hour, Jen is really good at being present in the moment. As a former rower, I'm happy to sit with the oar in my hand for longer than my allotted time, and it would be really helpful to have Jen still moving about the boat. We'd worked together closely over the last few days, and I knew that between the two of us, we were much more likely to help the crew achieve our goals. The invitation to captain the boat that day was one of the most absurd I've ever received. But it wasn't absurd because I was incapable of leading in that moment. It was absurd because I didn't believe I could. Moments like these tend to be riddled with grace and opportunities for transformation. There is a certain degree of absurdity that comes with what I will refer to as holy invitations throughout Scripture. In today's lessons, we have 2 examples in the narratives of Sarah and Abraham and the sending out of the apostles. To clarify, I do not mean to imply that God in God's wholeness is in any way absurd. Rather, that which is asked of us can seem absurd. More than anything, the limits of our human imagination can only partially grasp that which God sets before us. Upon initial hearing, that which God invites us into may lack clarity or sensibility. Yet in story after story, the biblical narrative teaches us that God's invitations are the beginning of a holy change. For Abraham and Sarah, the way in which they would interact with all whom they met was forever transformed. For the disciples, their very mission and identity was changed. For Paul and his followers, the purpose of their suffering was justified. Now, as you may recall, Sarah and Abraham were quite mature in age when they received the fateful visit that is described in today's lesson from Genesis. While this is a presumption on our part, it seems to follow with Sarah's actions that they had given up all hope of having a child. So when God speaks to Sarah and declares that she will indeed bear a son, what could she have offered other than deep belly laughter? To heighten the absurdity of the scene, God confronts her about this laughter, and then thinking she might have fooled him, Sarah continues to deny the laughter. The beautiful thing about their interaction is that it is precisely the laughter that becomes the essence of Sarah's transformation. Not only is God's promise fulfilled, but the way in which Sarah interacts with people from here on out is transformed. God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. Her life, not just the life of her newly born son, but Sarah's witness will continue to tell the story of her faithfulness for all time. Perhaps the other untold part of this particular narrative is that which Sarah is delivered from. The ability to give birth to a child is truly a gift, and perhaps one that we too often take for granted, especially in the scriptural narrative. I think it is safe to assume that Sarah did not just become the poster child for laughter. Rather, her deep sorrow, her soul-altering desire to be a mother, was transformed after years of longing. The fact that Sarah had the ability to respond with laughter rather than outright disdain to God's invitation is true faithfulness. Hidden in the midst of this story is a rhetorical question to which Sarah gives a remarkable answer. Is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? Sarah's laughter tells the story of the nature of change we may experience if we truly wonder in this way with God. The disciples also receive an absurd invitation, and I wanted you to get the full effect with that extended reading today. It gets worse the farther you go into it. They are given an in-depth description of the kind of work they will be sent out to do. The risks they will be asked to take become clearer. And just to make sure they aren't missing the point, Jesus captures the meaning in a metaphor. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. In other words, this will not be an easy task. Your enemies will be many, your companions few. You will lack the comforts to which you are accustomed. Do not expect to be compensated for your efforts. Ultimately, this is the moment in which the disciples' very identity is called into question. Up to this point in time, those who are named have been following Jesus, some diligently, some not so well, but they have remained faithful. They have continued along this path with him. But in this exchange, more is asked. They are no longer to be disciples, those who are faithful to a teacher, but apostles, those who are sent out. The direction and nature of their relationship with Jesus is totally altered in this moment. Quite frankly, Jesus asks everything of them. The risks they take will be great, the progress only incremental. Deep faithfulness is required for them to respond to this absurd invitation. Yet we know from the stories that remain that the apostles were in fact faithful in their response. Though there were many bumps along the way, the apostles perhaps declare for us that there is nothing too wonderful for the Lord. This concept of absurdity feels almost too complex to grasp. As we struggle to faithfully respond to the invitations God places before us, absurd seems to capture the totality of both the good and the hard. Yet it is our continual surprise in the absurd that seems most bizarre. A fellow theologian offered this reflection last week. The surprise of the Easter season is not that God raised someone, but who God raised. A poor, itinerant Jew in an obscure corner of the Roman Empire. And if God chooses to vindicate and liberate a poor Palestinian Jew from the shackles of death, who in our day is God preparing to set free? Who in our day is awaiting God's jarring vindication? Our continual surprise seems bizarre only because this God we proclaim delights in reminding us of the depth and breadth of his grace. The God we believe in assures us over and over and over again that even we are not too lowly to become the recipients of his love and his mercy. Take with you this morning the meaning of Sarah's laughter. Wonder over the transformation of the disciples to apostles. Remember the core of Jesus' identity and the love his witness continues to proclaim. Deep faithfulness is required to respond to God's seemingly absurd invitations. Delight as you wonder. Is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? Amen.